Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject, in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain, even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. Chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now, when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night, and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which, when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army in battle array? These words are taken from the Old Testament book, the Canticle of Canticles, the sixth chapter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, it has been said over the years that since the Civil War, the United States has not fought a war on its own soil. And while this may be true in regards to physical warfare, still, it must be said that there is a war being waged on American soil today. It is, you could say, a predominantly invisible war with glimpses of visibility here and there. It is a war in which the enemies of America are in her own government and among her own citizens. And though sadly, many Americans do not realize it, it is a war to protect the Constitution of the United States. And to protect the very principles on which America was founded. It's a war for her very existence as a sovereign nation. For there are, as you know, wicked men at work in both political parties who work day in and day out to surrender America's national sovereignty to the godless United Nations, and ultimately to reduce and to subject our great nation to socialism and communism. These wicked and godless men are striving to undo and destroy what George Washington and our founding fathers worked so hard to build up. They are working to take away America's independence and to subject her to a tyrant far worse than the British. It was during the night of July 4th, 1776, as you may recall, the final draft of the Declaration of Independence was drawn up and approved by Congress. And it was, of course, by means of this that the American colonists declared themselves free of the British tyranny. Tomorrow we celebrate the 246th anniversary of this joyous event. And we will honor the American patriots who worked so hard and fought so bravely to make America the great nation she became. Today, however, I would like to tell you about another patriot, an Irish patriot, who was responsible for Catholic emancipation in Ireland. His name is Daniel O'Connell, and he was born in the year 1775 of devout Catholic parents. As a young man, he studied law in Dublin, and this came to help him greatly as he entered politics in the year 1829 and was eventually elected to Parliament. There, he labored to obtain the freedom for Irish Catholics to practice their faith and to make it possible for Catholics to become members of Parliament. You see, at the time, Ireland was still under the dominion of England, and so the Protestant religion of Anglicanism was imposed upon the Catholics, and they were persecuted in many places. Furthermore, Catholics were prevented by English law to hold any sort of office. And so Daniel O'Connell made it his goal to have this changed. But to accomplish this undertaking, he needed help. And help was not coming from the government. And so he turned to someone far more powerful and far more influential. And that person was the Blessed Virgin Mary. One day, while his opponents in Parliament were violently disputing about one thing or another, Daniel left the room. He began pacing up and down the corridor of the House of Commons, his head bowed in thought and his hands clasped behind his back. Suddenly, a fellow Irishman bolted out of the chamber, and seeing Daniel, he stopped. "O'Connell," he said, "what are you doing out here? Don't you know that your country's fate is at stake in that room?" Daniel looked at the man for a moment, and then he said to him, "Perhaps, sir, I'm doing more for Ireland out here than the pack of you in there. Listen," he said. And saying this, he jingled the beads of his rosary behind his back. "Do you hear them?" he asked. "Ah, they only jingle now. But in a few minutes, O'Connell will go in there and he will thunder. And it will be the Mother of God herself who puts the words in his mouth." Daniel O'Connell, my dear friends, was a devout Catholic, and he was a true Irish patriot. And he knew that there was no amount of deliberating, no amount of arguing, no amount of politics that were going to change things in Ireland. He believed in his heart that only through the Blessed Virgin Mary would things change in Ireland. And would the Irish people be freed of the tyranny of the English? And thus, as certain Catholic historians record, he prayed his rosary every day, and especially during meetings of Parliament. Today in America, we face a far greater oppression than the Irish faced with the English. And we face a far greater tyranny than our founding fathers faced with the British. For the tyranny that we face today is not the tyranny of another nation or another country. It is the tyranny of hell itself. Today, Satan and his agents in our government and our country are working very, very hard to utterly destroy the great nation that America once was. The nation that was founded, as George Washington once said in his farewell address, on two things: religion and morality. Religion and morality, Washington said, are the indispensable support for American prosperity. And it is this essential foundation that is the target that the liberals in our country have in their sights today. All hell has, as it were, been loosed against the United States. And sadly, Americans, for the most part, have just looked the other way. They don't seem to care. And thus, the words of the prophet Isaiah may be fittingly applied to our country. The heart of this people has been hardened, and their eyes have been closed. The hearts of countless Americans have become hardened in sin, and their eyes have been closed to the truth. Countless Americans have turned their back on God, and the government of the United States has raised its fist, as it were, to God's face by its immoral and unjust laws. And as a result of this, American society has sunk lower and lower into the depths of degradation. This is a very sad and serious situation we have in our country, and I don't think I need to go into many of the details. You see what's going on, and you hear what's going on in almost every direction you turn. But we do have to realize something. We have to realize, as Daniel O'Connell did, that there is no politician who's going to fix things in America. To a certain extent, politicians can help things, but they're not going to fix all the problems in our country. We must believe, as Daniel O'Connell, that only through the intercession of Our Lady will things get fixed here in America, and she'll return to the great nation she once was. And you can be sure that Our Lady will not turn a deaf ear to the prayers of Catholic Americans, because the United States, it's her country. It belongs to her. You may recall, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, that on May 13, 1846, 22 bishops gathered in Baltimore, and there they proclaim the Blessed Virgin Mary, conceived without sin, to be the special patroness of our country. Ireland has St. Patrick. Spain has St. James the Apostle. Germany has St. Boniface, and England has St. George. And other nations have various saints and martyrs as their special patrons. But the United States does not have an apostle or a martyr as her patron. The United States has the Mother of God herself, the woman spoken of in the Canticle of Canticles, the woman that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, and terrible as an army in battle array. Our Lady's referred to as terrible, or strong as an army in battle formation. She is ready, and she will go to war with the powers of hell for her country. But Americans must go to her on behalf of their country. And thus, like true patriots, we must continue praying for the United States. It's no exaggeration to say that we are living in a rather pivotal time in the history of our country. A time which, like the war for independence, could very well shape the future of our country. It may be a long road, but if we do our part, and we inspire others to do their part, America can return to the solid Christian principles on which she was founded. Though the media would have us believe otherwise, there are still many good people who care for our country and who share the same American values that we do. And the recent overturning of the Roe versus Wade decision by the Supreme Court, on the Feast of the Sacred Heart at that, This is proof that America can return to the God-fearing nation she once was. It is proof that God has heard our prayers, that he is still in control, and that he can crush his enemies at will. Let us then, my dear friends, be the Catholic patriots our country needs. Patriotism falls under the virtue of piety, and it imposes on us a duty and justice to love our country and to pray for our country. Let us then practice the virtue of patriotism to a heroic degree, not only on the 4th of July, but throughout the year. And let us look to the red, white, and blue on our American flag to show us the way. Red symbolizes valor and sacrifice. Let us fight for the United States then by our prayers and our sacrifices. Let us offer up the little trials, the little difficulties we face each day for our country, for our government, for our fellow Americans. Let us do what we can each day with those little sacrifices, those little hardships we encounter. The color white signifies purity and virtue. Let us endeavor each day, therefore, to be good Catholic Americans by striving to practice purity according to our state and life, and to strive to practice the other virtues each day, especially charity, patience, and meekness. And finally, the blue in the American flag is also the special color of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devotion to the Immaculate Patroness of our country is indispensable for us. It is essential not only for the well-being of America, but it is essential for the salvation of our souls. Let us then wear her brown scapular faithfully every day. Let us pray the rosary daily, that our Heavenly Mother will protect and guide the United States. Let us pray for our country's leaders. And at times this can be very difficult. But let us pray for our country's leaders that they once again uphold Catholic morality and belief in God. And let us pray that God will have mercy on our nation. If there ever was a time, my dear friends, which called for Catholic Americans to stand up, to profess their faith publicly, to defend it courageously, and to pray fervently for their country, that time is now. For how desperate is the need today of true Catholic patriots who, like Daniel O'Connell, will thunder against the tyranny of the devil and his agents in this world, not only with words, but with prayer, sacrifice, virtue, and devotion to Our Lady, with the beads of her most holy rosary. May the Blessed Virgin Mary cover America with her mantle of maternal protection. And may she who comes forth terrible as an army in battle array, may she drive Satan and his agents from our beloved nation, so that her immaculate heart may once again reign in her land and our land, that she may reign once again as queen in the United States of America. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.